Everyone. It's always the first 30 seconds that I don't know if the rest of the speakers get, but you get that, you know, nervous or excitement. And you wouldn't happen to see me back 5 years ago standing speaking back at my church. So it always amazes me when I come here and I get that opportunity. today, I'll invite you to open your Bibles in 2 Corinthians 5. And here we go. Perfect. And we're going to take a look at our main verse, but we also, we're going to be looking at the life of Joseph. Many of us know this great story about Joseph and how he was despised by his brothers and the life he carried on. He was in jail, you know, but spoiler, he forgave his brothers. So I've been reading through Genesis, and any show that you're watching on Netflix right now, if you read from Genesis 12 to 50, that's amazing. Like, you know, every time you read Genesis or the stories, because I relate the Old Testaments and a lot of stories from the Bible when I was in Sunday school, you know, about Noah and the ark, about Joseph, the dreamer. I was asking Cecilia when I was preparing the message, what do you think when I ask you about Joseph? And she's like, oh, he's the dreamer, yes. You know, or you can say like the tunic, you know, the colorful tunic that his dad prepared for him. Yes, all it's right. But I like to portray a different perspective on Joseph's life. And the question for you today will be, if you want to title this message, will be, what is your legacy? Okay? And last Sunday as well, we were speaking about the race that we have and that we shouldn't look at the back, at the past, only to see those mistakes that we did to avoid and committing them again. So that's one of the key things here as well. I want you today to look at the past, because that's the only way you get to know yourself. Because your family gave you a legacy. There is a legacy. And if you're young, if you're old, it doesn't matter, because you are who you are because of your family's legacy, right? I come here, and I was saying that you wouldn't see me standing or speaking, but my dad, he's been speaking all his life, you know, and I always had that on my mind, like, I'm not a speaker, you know, but maybe that's on the blood or something that I'm standing here, right? So, again, what we know about Joseph's life, he was sold by his brothers, then he went to Egypt, he was a servant of Potiphar, and then he was in prison, and then he, again, was put as governor or second in command by Pharaoh. And later on, he is given the opportunity on his hands to take, you know, a revenge on his brothers, but he didn't do that, right? He forgave his brothers. So that's one thing. So we're looking at your past, and then to understand your roots, your family, you know, many of the things that I have are because of my parents, my education, my, you know, traits that I acquired from my parents and my mother. When I got married, I thought, you know, it was perfect. You know, my family, it's all I knew. And then I came into bond with this other family, and they did things differently, you know. So it was not a shock, but Cecilia will say to me, like, well, that's not how I do it. You know, my dad didn't do that. Why are you doing that? And I was like, because this is how I was taught, you know. And you got to set your pride apart. And then I learned how to, you know, take the good and set aside the bad, right? Because you don't want that in a relationship. And that's especially with people that are young, are getting married, you know. That's a part of what you are. Because I dated Cecilia for 3-5 years, something like that. Everything was perfect. Like, I, you know. But as soon as we got married, I was like, not that we have issues, but, you know, different opinions right there. And then you got to, you know, got it to a middle ground. And I'm sure that I'm still learning. And I'm sure that people that have 30 years married here, they, you know, they always learn something new or changes in your life. So for that, I want you to introduce you, before we read the verses, to me. Okay? See here. Now, because these are the persons that made me. You know me around roughly 2 years now, and I've been privileged to be at some of your homes, and I've seen some photographs there, interesting photographs of you guys. So first, I want to introduce you to my abuelita. There you go. This is my grandmother. Her name is Marina. She got married with my grandfather. I was privileged enough to take those pictures, portraits of them. And, you know, she seems nice, but, you know, she was like a tough lady, you know. But I have good memories of her. Also, my grandfather, I was speaking with Bill today at morning at the snack time. And he used to work with Sugar Cane Company. And I don't know exactly what he did, but I know he worked with plants, and he did research, and he retired around 82, I want to say, you know. So he kept going, and my dad tried to beat him, but he couldn't. So, yeah. And then next over here, we have this is from my dad's side. And then the last one there is from my mom's side. So you'll see a picture of my sister. No, she's not adopted. He's like really white. My grandfather was, he worked in the country. He had lands, he had plantations, you know. He got married 3 times, and he had 24 children. All right? And then this over here, they only had 7. That's it. Yes. And then if you're asking about my grandmother, she passed away when my mom was around between 5 or 7. So we didn't get to know her. And you'll see my mom shortly, but my mom reminds me about Joseph. She had a hard life. When she was around between five and seven, she was sent away to her aunt's. And, you know, there's a lot of stories that I heard from her. And luckily, the Lord brought her to a home where they kept a lot of young ladies in there to study. So she studied, she finished high school, and then she finally met my dad, right? So here's my mom and dad. That was around 2004, I want to say. So my mom and my dad, I don't think I look like my dad, perhaps. And there's me, look. There's me, and then that's my mom, my sister, and then that's my little brother. And then fast forward to the future, is my mom and dad, and then there's Austria, right? So that's my family. Happy to introduce them to you. I didn't want to just leave you with the old picture in case they come visit, you know, you recognize them. So yeah, that's my family. So we want to recognize what we inherit, the good. And I'm sure if I go to each home and I've been there, you know, you tell me stories about how your family is great, stories about your children, and new stuff. But we got to recognize that there's the bad in our family, right? So, and I don't want to tell you bad of my family, but neither you want to tell me about that. But that's why it's important to you look at the mirror and then, you know, try to look at the past and say, what's that bad thing that I inherit? What's that legacy that I inherit from my parents, right? That's what we want to look back. So if you go to 2 Corinthians, and then here, 5, and then we're going to read from verses 14 to 17. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, From now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And if you go back to Genesis, and this is, if you want to read Joseph's life, you got to start from here. Genesis 37, verse 1 and 2. We're just going to read part of 2. It says, now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. And verse 2 says, that's an important one. This is the story of Jacob. In other translation, you get, these are the accounts of Jacob's generation. And interestingly, in Spanish, you'll get, this is the story of Jacob's family. Okay, so now let's just pray before we go on. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you because we're gathered here to learn about your word, to learn about the legacy that you have given us and that we have received from our parents from generations through generations. We ask us that your Holy Spirit talk to us and that we may apply this to our daily life and to reflect you to the world. Bless us this evening in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so the first point we're making is the weight of your family's legacy. Now, as I was saying, you inherit the good, you inherit the bad, but that it's a weight that you carry through all of your life. And if you don't fix that, then you're passing that to the next generation. And that generation, they don't make changes, they're passing that to the next generation, and so on, right? So you gotta be careful, you know, and ask the Lord to fix you, right? Because there's an interesting thing about persons or the people. You are made through, the first thing is your temperament. So your temperament is inborn, is with you, you know. Maybe you're angry, you know, maybe you're lazy perhaps, I don't know. But then that gets added with your character. Now your character is formed through experiences, through how you're educated. You know, your parents, they let you around, you know, alone, unsupervised. They left you with, I when I was a kid, I was sometimes left alone with my nanny, and then I ate the whole chicken meat in the fridge. So I was left unsupervised. I love it. But, right, so that's your temperament, plus your character is your personality, okay? So that's a temperament plus your character is your personality. Now, if you add one more thing to that equation, if you add God to that equation, you get transformation, right? So whatever you are, and especially whatever you are before you turn a Christian, you become a new creature, right? If you go back to that verse, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation, right? All things have passed away. So, you gotta look for that dysfunctionality in your family. There's always something there, right? There's people say that if you have three children, like in our case, you saw the pictures, you know, oh, the oldest one, the black sheep of the family, or the youngest one, you know, or the middle one, no one cares about him. No one's paying attention because, you know, the first one was the first one, and the oldest one was, the youngest one was the last one, right? So, what's your stand in your family, right? Are you in a stage with your family where you respect your family or you're rebelled against your family, right? Like you're a Christian, I don't want to go to church. You know, there's nothing there. I don't want to hear whatever is there. Or, you know, let's go do the grocery. Nah, I don't want to go with you. Right, you stay at home. Are you rebel or respectful rebel. And then at the next stage of your life, are you in continuity with the things that you inherit from your parents or your life, or there's a change? You know, after we go through all of this, you'll see that there was a change of Joseph. Like he, you know, that the interesting I found now, extraordinary thing about Joseph is not only what he went through in Egypt, but what he carried on from his family. Because I tend to look at this family, and I told you, if you want to read this from Genesis 12 through 50, you'll find some interesting things. And we're going to see that Joseph's family tree, but it's just shocking to me the things that happened in that family. So the things that, the experience that he had to live his family, he was sold by his brothers, and his brothers wanted to kill him. His brothers committed murder against some other nation, some other people in that, because of Dinah, their sister. So, you know, it's there's dark stuff in there. And that you can't just, that doesn't get any better. Like I say, like, stop whatever you're watching and go read Genesis, right? So today is an invitation to you to understand your family's history. Right? To look back and say, like, you know, oh, this is how my grandma was. This is how my grandfather was. You know, these are the things that my mom comment about the side of my family. Or, you know, this is the things that I saw with my family. So, and most of us ask the Lord, you know, for forgiveness. You got to come to the cross and ask the Lord, you know, whatever it is that is in me that I inherit that is not I liked to you, just, you know, take it off from there. I don't want to live with that. I don't want to live, you know, Joseph's mom, Rachel. It was interesting because she was wrestling with her sister, you know. And do you think that they didn't talk to their children and say, like, hey, you know, don't pay attention to Joseph. Yeah, don't listen to whatever he has to say. Right? They were, like, across this family, there were favoritisms, you know, there was deception, there were lies, kind of reminds my family, or your family, perhaps, right? So that's an invitation to understand your family history, right? To bring it to the cross and repent. Now, that's the first point. Now, the second point I want to see is that Joseph's family legacy, right? So you got to understand yourself. You're coming from point number one, and you got to understand yourself. And the second thing you got to do as well, you got to understand that by understanding your family, you understand yourself. And then if you want to understand different people, you got to understand their family background, right? Where they come from. Because you can't assume things of what someone is if you don't realize this. So let's go and dive in Joseph's family tree. So I don't know if you know that Joseph's great-great-grandfather was Abraham, right? So Abraham is this man of the promise where God told him that, you know, there was going to be a descendant out of him. He's an interesting character. And then he married Sarai and then become Sarah. And if you read the story, Sarah was his half-sister, right? And if you know that story, I believe that starts in 12, you know he has had a cousin too. And do you know that they went and they split and he went to Sodom and Gomorrah? And then after God destroyed the city, the two daughters, you know, got him drunk, and then they commit incest with Lot just to have a descendant. So, you know, it goes quite bad. Not approved by God, right? And then Abraham as well, when he went to Egypt, he told Sarah, and he said, if someone asks you about me, tell them that you're my sister, you know, to save his skin, right? Because if not, they know we're married, you're beautiful, they'll try to get you and they'll kill me, you know? So, you know, putting your wife in that position it's not right. Then when you look at this, and this, if you know the story, you know that this, he doesn't only do it once, but he does it twice. And then his son Isaac did the same thing. And you think, I mean, they watch it in a YouTube video to learn that? No, I mean, this got passed on generations to generation. Probably he heard about these stories, right? About his dad. They, you know, stories got passed on by oral tradition. So then you got that, and then forget about Abraham, but now Sarah, you know, she, you know, he's the supposed to be the big descendant, and then she tries to help God. And then she said, you know, we need to have a descendant. And then her maid comes in the picture. And then he says, like, you get with my maid. So we have descendant, and they have this son, Ishmael. And then after she conceives, Hagar starts, you know, despising Sarah because she can't bear any children. So now, you know, why are you trying to help God, Sarah? Now, she says to Abraham, you know, send this away. And the Bible says, I could look up all these verses, but it will take us too much time. That's why your homework for this week is to read Genesis. And perhaps this message is going to get turned into a series, because we can't just talk about all the things that happened in Joseph's family tree. Now, Sarah tries to help, again, God, and then they're sent away, but then the Lord tells them to come back, right? And now there's an issue between them, right? And then after that, there's favoritism in the family, because obviously Abraham and Sarah prefer Isaac. And then Sarah says to Abraham, I don't want her here. You know, just get them away to the desert. I don't care what happens to them. Just, I don't want to see them. And then he's worried about it because that's his son. And then, but the Lord actually commands him, like, you know what, do as she said, right? But, you know, there's friction between them. And there's favoritism in there. And then Isaac marries Rebekah. Now, that's a beautiful story. But again, he made the same thing as his father did. He lied and said at some point Abimelech says, like, if they ask you who you are, you're my sister, right? And they were related at some point. Rebecca's, we don't have it there, but we know there's an interesting character there, because Rebecca's brother is Laban. So Uncle Laban, interesting character. We'll see about him. So they got married, and there's a beautiful story about them, how Abraham sent his servant to look for someone to marry with Isaac. And you see that when they received the servant, and the servant prays for it, and then her dad and Laban, his brother, received them effectively, you know, okay, and then they send Rebecca. Now, these two, they had Jacob, and they had Esau. Now, again, if you remember, if you read this story, you'll find out that there was favoritism in that family. So Rebecca loved Jacob, and then Isaac preferred Esau. And it says in the Bible that he loves to hunt. You know, he prepared this nice stew to his dad. And it doesn't tell about Jacob, but Jacob was in the tents, probably, you know, he did the dishes, take the trash out, and that's why her mom, you know, preferred him. Perhaps, right? We don't know those details there. And at some point, and then in the story, if you keep reading, Jacob, now remember where Rebecca comes from. We're going to talk about Laban, but Laban was, you know, he worshiped idols. Laban, he was a manipulator, and you'll see in the story. And that was Rebecca's brother. And then Jacob, at some point, I guess, inherited some things from that family, and he makes Esau sells his birthright to his brother, right? He's like, you wanna eat? You know, give me your birthright. How about that? He's like the Bible says he's given to him. But you see how, you know, that's sort of things in the life of Jacob. And then Rebecca, comes a time that Isaac wanna bless Esau, right? And he says, you know, go and get me some game. And I guess, if correct me if I'm wrong, but game could be, you know, he goes hunting and it could be deer, it could be, I don't know, bear, perhaps. Is that right? Right? And then let's call it venison, perhaps, you know? But it's not goats or lambs or cattle because they had it there. So he says, go and get me some game, make that stew that I like so much, and then I'm going to bless you. And then he says, like, all right, Dad, I'm just going to go. But Rebecca, she's hearing all of this, right? And then she's like, Jacob, come here. Right? And then she's like, you know, your dad is going to bless Esau. But since I love you more than him, you know, I'm going to make him give the blessing to you. Right? And then she starts plotting all of this. And then she says, go and get me some goat. And if you cook, especially, you know, if you cook, she was trying to make goat, you know, make it as venison. Or whatever the stew was, it's a different kind of meat. It's like you try to make chicken taste like beef. You won't fool me, right? There's no way, right? It's different. But she made that. She's like, you know, it's the amount of detail that she put into this. Then she said, Jacob says, like, well, you know, yeah, I want. Jacob didn't say, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do that. You know, the Lord will you know, curse me or anything or something like that. No, he said, you know, I'm not hairy as my brother. And then she's like, don't worry about that. We'll fix that. And he said, like, I don't want to be cursed by my dad if he finds out. And then she says, like, may that curse be upon me. And then he, you know, I don't know. I couldn't pull it off because he goes to his dad and he says, like, you know, here's your stew, whatever. Oh, that was fast. Yeah, you know, I'm a fast hunter. So he goes in there, and then the Bible says, if you read it, Isaac said, is the voice of Jacob, but the hands of Esau. And then he's confused, right? But still goes on. And then it was so perfectly planned that Isaac tells him, you know, I come here. I'll give you a kiss. And then he kissed him, he hugs him, and then smells him, and he smelled like Esau. Her mom has put in the garments, the clothes that Esau used to hunt, right? So every little detail was planned. And then you see, it's sad. It broke my heart when I read that Esau comes and then he asks for the blessing. And he said, you don't got any more blessings to me? And then he cries. And then they start a fight there. So, you know, Joseph and their brothers, you know, they fight against each other. You know, where that's in the family, right? So after he knows he's been deceived, he says, after my dad passed away, I'm going to kill my brother. You know, I'm just going to kill it. And then I think Rebecca didn't like Esau because if in the story there, it says that Esau's wife were affliction to their spirit, both Isaac and Rebekah. So perhaps that's what it came. You know, he preferred Jacob. But then Rebekah does something and it tells Jacob, you know, go to Laban, you know, until Esau calms down, it's going to pass. So once he's calmed down, you're going to come back. You know, it took them 20 years. Right? Because next thing you know, Jacob marries and he founds, he is in love with Rachel. Right? And then he goes to the land and Laban is like, hey, you're my blood. How can I not receive you? Right? Come here, sit down, have wine, enjoy. You know, you want to work here? Just tell me your salary. Like, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. And after that, he said, like, I don't want anything. You know, I saw one of your daughters. I want Rachel. You know, that's fine. Work 7 years. He says, I'm going to work 7 years. He works 7 years. And he marries Leah. Right? After those 7 years. And then there are not enough details there, but you got to think about that. You got to go more ahead and say, after Leah came, you know, 7 years passed. I think they know, Jacob knows Rachel. You know, perhaps they didn't, you know, sit or hug each other, but the Bible tells that she was beautiful. And then that Leah had a beautiful eyes as well, delicate eyes. And then it's not pot, yeah, like, you know, even in the dark, I'll recognize my wife, you know. And she goes into her tent. Laban and her, probably they plot this out. And probably Rachel was kept far away. And in the wedding night, sneaked onto her tent. And probably he had, you know, too much wine, perhaps. And then, but she didn't stop her from doing it. Right? She would have said, you know, my father sent me. I know, you know, you love Rachel. They were wrestling at each other since then for Jacob. Right? I mean, that's what I'm telling you. This gets better. This story, I mean, you got to read this through after this message. And you know, Jacob could have refused to. You know that? Jacob could have refused because he probably knew. But he was like, ah, you know what? Whoever this is, I'm just going to have to go for it, right? And then the friction between them, 7 years there when they were working. Now, Jacob asked his father-in-law, you know, hey, what happened? You know, this is not the one I ordered. Can I return it? Right? Shipping label. So he's like, well, you know, it's a custom, a tradition here that you can't let the youngest go first before you get the oldest. So, no, I can give it to you. And it's a misconception that Jacob didn't work 7 years and then he was given Rachel. No, he said, like, you know, spend the wedding week and then, you know, I'll give you Rachel. So that happens, but then you got to work 7 more years. So there goes Jacob, you know, the one that deceived, that stole the blessing, you know, he got it back, right? And in the whole story, Jacob loves Rachel. So again, you know, Isaac, Rebecca, Jacob, they favoritism. There's favoritism here, right? Jacob loved more Rachel. And the Bible say that the Lord saw this and then he gave her sons. And the last one's a daughter. And then Rachel couldn't have children, right? Yet. And what does she does? Well, you know, she had her maid, Bila. And guess what? This is, I guess it runs in the family because Sarah did the same thing. You know, she gives Bila to Jacob and says, like, you know, bear fruit. I'm not going to be left without no children. And because at that time, it was a blessing because the promise was there. Children were a big... up till now, they're a blessing, but in here, that was the more children you have, you know, the more, the better. Now, if you look at the meaning of that, the names of Naphtali there, it says that it means, you know, I've wrestled with my daughter, with my sister, and the Lord has given me children. So that's the meaning of that. It's like, you know, it's like you naming your children, haha, gotcha, sis, you know, something like that. It's just Rachel had so much bitterness in her heart, right? And then, you know, Leah wouldn't, like, she had children already, right? She didn't have all of this at once in the sequence, but I want you to see them there. But then what she has a mate too, and then she's like, okay, you gave her a mate, I'm gonna give Zilpah to Jacob. So we're even. Right? And at some point in the story, there's a root that Reuben caught in the wildness. And then he was bringing it to his mom, Leah. And then they bargained for it. And then you know what happens? she rents Jacob for one night, and then Leah conceives another son. So, you know, it was rough. But then Rachel, the Lord remembers Rachel, and she has Joseph and Benjamin. Now, it's Rachel's story is so sad. And the reason Rachel is important is because is Joseph's mother. But Joseph, the meaning of Joseph, it has two meanings. But one of it is, add me more. You know, at some point in the story, Rachel asked Jacob, you know, give me children or I'll die. Right? And Jacob says, you know what? I'm not God that's keeping you from having children. Right? And the Lord remembers that he has Joseph, but she never had enough. She never had enough. She always looked for more. And then Joseph's meaning, add me more, God's, later on, she adds Benjamin. And you know what happened? She dies in giving labor. It's so sad. They were in a trip, and she has Benjamin. She is a hard laborer. She's dead. And you know what happened? They bury her along the way, and she's left alone, because Jacob died, and he was buried next to Leah. So it is so dark, and as you're going through all of this family tree, Joseph, you know, this all came from him. You know, starting from Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, all of his brothers. At some point in the story, Levi and Simeon, they, with words of deception, the Bible says, a guy, they hurt Dinah, and they came, and they, with words of deception, they told him, oh, you want to get together and, you know, with the family? That's fine. You know, circumcise, all of you. And at the third day of circumcision that they did it, they went into the town and killed everybody. Right? This is not far. Now this is Joseph's brothers. These are the same one that they want to try to kill him. Right? It's just, I think it's dark. I mean, I never had my brother try to kill me. But, you know, it's just, it gets dark. So, what is the answer of Joseph's legacy? Now, you all know the story, but he decided to get the better out of all his family tree, right? He decided, because we mentioned that he heard all of these stories about Abraham, about Isaac, you know, probably the good and the bad, but he decided to be just and merciful, because when he meets with his brothers, he's not trying to look for revenge. There's a little bit of deception about Joseph there, right? He tries to hit the cop and, you know, all of that. But spoiler, he forgives his brothers, right? Now, it's just impressive. We are running out of time, and we can keep going and going, but let's go over Joseph's response to his legacy. So he learned everything he heard from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and put it into practice. He believed in God. Oral tradition shaped him. Potiphar recognized that God was with him because everything Joseph did prospered. Now, it's easy, and at some point of your life, you're confronted to say, you know, whatever the family you have, whatever the dysfunctionality you find in your family, you are the only one in charge to say, stop. I'm not going to continue this legacy. And that's what Joseph did. I mean, it would be easy to, you know, sleep with Potiphar's wife. It would be easy just to kill her, perhaps. You know, he didn't behave like that. And he had all of these examples, right? At some point, you're confronted by your family's legacy and say, you know what? My father was abusive. I'm just going to be abusive. My father, he drank. She's going to knock it off. You know, I can mention many stuff, right? Stuff like my mom was proud. My dad was never home. There's no affection in my house. So, you know, why would I be the same thing with my children, right? So you carry on a legacy of your own that you either got to continue with that or make changes in your life. And you're confronted to it. And Joseph also had a genuine relationship with God. He stood out by putting God first. You know, when he's called upon revealing Pharaoh's dream, he says, it's not me that's going to reveal the dreams, it's God. Joseph didn't see, but he believed. God didn't speak to him in dreams or appear to him directly. He walked by faith and persevered. He didn't victimize himself. You know, it's his family that God put me into. You know, I can't do anything better. He could have done that. You know, his brother said that while he was in the well there, his soul was afflicted. But you know, he didn't victimize himself. Above all of this, he stood up and raised. He forgave. Maybe you know, I don't know your situation, but maybe you don't talk to your brother, to your sister, to your aunt, to your family. It's time for you to forgive, right? It's not easy, but Joseph did it. Joseph forgave them after 22 years. It could have been just easy for him just kill those men. He didn't do that, right? So he broke the chains of destructive family patterns, choosing not to repeat the legacy of dysfunction. So that's impressive about Joseph. I told you, it is impressive what he went through, his life after chapter 37. But his family legacy is even impressive. Now, my question for you, again, what is your legacy? What are you going to make it be? You come to the cross after you look at yourself and ask God for mercy, for grace, for repentance, and say, I don't want to keep being the way you are. I am. You know, and we're going to end by saying that you need to bring your legacy to the cross and be transformed. And as 2 Corinthians 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Let's just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for speaking your word to your servant, Father. Father, we ask you to help us on this journey that we're going through our life, to look at ourselves in the mirror and just see the bad things that we acquire along the way. It might be from our family that we carry on. It might be from friends for bad influence. And also to recognize the good that you have given us. Because we have the power to change our generation, our legacy, Father. Please, we come to you. We come to the cross looking for your forgiveness to be transformed, Father. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.